Hi, thank you for attending our session. I want to go through mine as briefly as I can so I can give Timmy the opportunity to talk about her home country of Nigeria, and she's much more interesting than I am, so I want to make sure we get to Timmy. The topic of our conversation was we keep hearing the words rights, and what we're going to talk about is what is a right and how is water a right, and the debate that is with that, because that's a very complicated issue. We do not have any relationships to disclose other than I like her very much. Human right versus ownership, and that's the big debate with water. Who owns the water? Do we all own the water, or is the water owned by governments and countries? And that's the biggest debate. Maud Barlow wrote a beautiful book, Blue Gold, and it has been made into a documentary. And if you just Google Blue Gold World Water Wars, you can find the documentary and you can watch a majority of it on the internet. And it's Blue Gold World Water Wars, and that's very interesting. The access to water, a basic human right. The United Nations describes a human right as all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. They are endowed with reason and conscience and should act towards one another in a spirit of brotherhood. And that's what we think of as a human right from the United Nations. Who owns water? Water's presence is within a territory that is owned by men or countries or governments. So because of that, who owns that water and who has the right to the water beneath the land that the people owned? And so most people historically throughout the world have felt that the water below the ground or the lakes and streams and rivers of the territory and boundaries they owned, that the water was their property. So that's how we formed the Wild West in the United States. We went west where there was water. We claimed the land because the water was so important to the survival. So we think the majority of nations feel that whoever owns the land owns the water. This is the U.S.'s belief as of March 2009 in regards to water rights and the human right to ownership. There is at present no internationally agreed right to water or human right to water, and there is no consensus on what such a right would encompass. So the United States does not believe that water is a human right. Neither does Canada or China. The Pope just recently said his belief is the use of water, which is regarded as universal and an inalienable right, is related to the growing and urgent needs of people who live in destitution, taking into account the fact that limited access to potable water has repercussions on the well-being of an enormous number of people and often is the cause of illness, suffering, conflicts, poverty, and even death. So the Pope or the Catholic Church's belief is that water is a human right and that everyone needs water. Non-governmental organizations and the United Nations have mounted a campaign to lobby governments to recognize water as a human right. The global fact about water is that water is expensive, and having sanitized drinking water is tremendously expensive. It costs as much to put water in Colombia, South America, as it does New York City, and that's because in Colombia, the access to the water is there, but they have no ability yet to sanitize the water. And who owns the sanitation companies? And if they were offering people sanitized water, who has the burden of expense to that? And so, as you can see, New York and London, we already have sanitized water. We already have those mechanisms in place. So it's cheaper to get water in New York than in Colombia, South America. An estimated 1 billion people worldwide lack sufficient drinking water. Water's a big business. It costs $400 to $500 billion a year to supply water throughout the world. Some countries, like India, have the rights to the water sources, so the government owns the water, and then they can sanitize the water and then charge people whatever amount they see fit in order to have access to water. Substandard conditions and lack of sanitation is a huge problem worldwide. There are reasons for and against privatization. Many can agree with some, few, all. The bottom line is the territory with which you live has water. There are some areas of the world that are more arid, being the sub-Saharan desert. There are places like the Caribbean that have less access to water. Water's not available. They must get their water from another source. And so who comes in and mines that water and then transports that water? We mine oil, we transport oil. Oil is a commodity that has a huge dollar value. So water is not a commodity that the value or the dollar amount is the same. So we can't transport water as cheaply as we can transport oil because the end product doesn't give us as much money. So therein lies the debate. Who owns it and who's going to sanitize it? And does the government own it and have public policies that surround the sanitation and we outsource sanitation? So this is a complicated issue. And so if you are upstream of water and you own the water, you can dam your water and prevent it from being downstream. And so there's the problem with wars and territorial and all of that, because if you're in an arid climate and you're waiting on water and you have no mechanism to capture water, you're at the mercy of what they consider potable water, and that is water that's transported from one source and brought to you. Reasons against privatization: it leads to rate increases, undermines water quality, it forms monopolies, it fosters corruption, it reduces local control, it costs more than public financing, causes job loss, difficult to reverse decisions, can leave the poor with no access to clean water, and open the door for water exports. And these are the reasons that have been lobbied against privatization. The reason the U.S., Canada, and China, among others, are opposed to water as a right are the two countries in the whole world that have the most available, usable water are Canada and Finland. So if you think of countries as well, or places such as Antarctica that have big glaciers or big ice things that you could melt and get water, but Canada and Finland have the most lakes and natural water supply. And they do not want to be forced to pot their water, to transport their water to other countries that don't have water. And who would bear the burden of that cost? Would it be Canada? Would it be the country seeking the water? Because Canada has more money and more resources, so it's a complicated issue. No one wants to be forced to export their water. Does every human have a right to consume as much water as he or she wishes, regardless of time or place? So if you're living in a place with less water, can you use as much water as you like? And one of the debates is, just like oil, and we're looking for other resources to oil, do we want to look for other resources for water? What are the two basic functions we need water for? We need water to grow our food, and we need water for nourishment or to drink. We don't necessarily need water for our sanitation or our sewage. That's just been the mechanism that we have developed to move sewage along because water was readily available. There are other means to get rid of waste other than using our natural precious resource of water. Do we need it to clean our clothes? Do we need it to bathe? Not necessarily. We need it to drink and we need it to grow food. And so coming up with viable alternatives to the use of water globally is a very important point to how we want to distribute water. Does it vary by circumstance? Whose responsibility is it to provide it? At whose expense? How are the disputes different from water to be settled? Efficient use. It does not exist in nature in a form suitable for human consumption, requiring expensive infrastructure. You know, gone are the days where we dug a well and we didn't have to do anything to sanitize the water that we drink. So our waters, our lakes, our streams are polluted, so we have to get rid of the pollutant before we can drink it. And governments must use illegal methods and bribe citizens for access. And poor governments don't have the monetary resources to supply the clean water. In the U.S., we think of water rights as based on land ownership, and that's in the East. If you own the property, you own the water. It can be pursuant to state law, so some states have taken over ownership of some of the water. Any water in the U.S. that's navigable, say the Mississippi River or anything like that, that we use to transport goods and services, that is subject to federal law and the federal jurisdiction over that water. First come, first served, a lot of our water rights in the United States is still based on the premise if you were the first one there and you owned the land, and reserve the water rights by federal government. And we want to have public-private partnerships in order to sanitize the water. And the debate continues with the hope that a resolution that will allow the resources for infrastructure and sanitize clean water for all the world's citizens without the need for corruption, manipulation, or violence is all our hope as public health nursing as well. And now I'm going to let Timmy talk to you about Nigeria.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me? All right. All right. Timmy, I'm from Nigeria, so I'm going to just tell you the basic water stories in Nigeria. Nigeria, we have like two great rivers, which are Niger Benue and Chad system. So most of our waters come from these two water systems. And it's usually controlled by the federal government, the state, and the local governments. The federal is responsible for the policy, the monitoring, and water supply development, funding, and research. And the state are basically, the state and the local government are basically into maintenance of the water supply in each jurisdiction. So state hall water utility in Nigeria. The public water system in Nigeria right now is very, very poor compared to developed world right now. And in major cities in Nigeria, people rely on vendors to supply the drinking water, because most of the waters, most people depend on boreholes and wells such like this to get waters to drink or to use for sanitation or to cook and stuff like that. And like I said, for some who are fortunate, they have pipe in their homes, they have access to public water supply. But the public water supply also, they have to wait for like a week or a month for supply. Even though the pipe is there, they have to wait for the water to be supplied to them. So sometimes it's just like maybe once a week for them to have a water supply. And for whenever they have the water supply, they have to store it in reservoir or kegs or gallons so that they can use it for later. Compared to United States, like we have access to, like the first presenter say, like you go to the bathroom, you flush. Here in this community, people are like, they think twice before they even flush or think twice before they even use water to clean their clothes, because water is very precious. The little they have is for drinking and for cooking. And with increase in water tax and poor service, most of the household depend on wells, stream, and a public borehole. And some of these boreholes, some have to pay. In some communities, like in the cities, where they have a public borehole, many households have to bring like several kegs or gallons of kegs to pay for, to buy water so that it can use, that can last for like a week or more. Most of this water they bought is, like I said, for drinking and for cooking. And like I said, privatization of water in Nigeria. Right now, there's a debate of, do we really need to privatize water or not? And water, like I said, water is a special product whose privatization must be handled with extreme care. Because water, if it's privatized, like I say in the last paragraph here, if water is privatized, the private company, they will focus on the profit more than the supply, and finding solutions to the water problem. I said to promote a sense of ownership. Each community should have a contribution so that the people can. Like if the government build a borehole, so with the contribution, they can have affordable access to safe and clean water. And I think that's my presentation. Thank you.